Next Step 277, September 26, 2013.
This is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries, welcoming you to The Next Step with Father Vazquez. We thank you for downloading or picking up a CD copy of this audio broadcast. Here, Father Vazquez provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. No, you don't have to check your brain in at the door to follow Armadoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week free of charge, either as a podcast on epostle.net, Apple iTunes Store, and now on Blueberry. Our commitment at epostle.net is to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Vazquez, priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, a podcast that looks at life and love, that looks at spirituality through the most ancient of all traditions, Armenian Orthodoxy. Polish up for today. It's called Armadoxy. It's a mix of chant and rock and roll. It's walking in the sandals of Christ and in the shoes of the homeless, the cancer victim, and the prisoner. Yes, Armadoxy has arrived, and you are here. We're so glad! So kick back right now as we take this next step. This podcast is being brought to you by epostle.net and as part of the expanding vision of the In His Shoes mission. So if you're ready, let's take the next step. Well, you know I am ready, right? That's how this show gets off, right? Anyway, we have a great show for you today. Yes, we are going to go to Armenia. We're going to be talking about all the things that are happening out of the Bishop Synod. And we're going to get really dirty too. You know, we're going to have a good time doing this. But before that, I was going to save this toward the end of the show. Why am I so pumped up? Because this morning on my way to the studio, I had a chance to listen to a podcast from 2 years ago. And it was a podcast that I thought was lost, was gone. I didn't know where it existed, but last night I found it. So wait, let me back up, okay? So today happens to be, I wasn't going to say this at the beginning. I was going to share it at the end, but I'm pumped up, okay? I'm excited. So today happens to be the anniversary of my ordination. I was ordained 31 years ago, hence Father Vazquez was born 31 years ago. And 2 years ago, on the same anniversary date, I wrote a piece about, well, the anniversary. And it actually serves as a preface for Armadoxy. And in there, we talked about the chants of rock and roll and the ancient chants of Armenian mysticism. We talked about the sandals of Christ and the shoes of the homeless, the cancer victim. So 2 years ago, Linda Zadoyan had done a dramatic interpretation of this on one of her shows, Compass. I believe it was episode number 7. And I think a week or two later after that show, Ken and I sat down and we incorporated some music with it. And we published this as a special edition. It was called episode, let's see, it's Compass number 7 Special Edition, S-E. Okay. Now, we only published this and made it available on CDs. So it was promoted 2 years ago, and I can't remember why we only promoted it on CDs. But anyway, at that time, it was necessary, and we did it. It was a great little show, and we got some comments about it. But last night, I found the file, and I said, hey, what a great gift, okay? We are going to put this on today's show notes. So it's a gift from us to you. So our diehard listeners of The Next Step, you're going to get a very special edition of Compass Number 7. It happens to be, well, what can we call it? Like a manifesto for Armodoxy, how we got here, who Father Voskin is, how music plays in there, how we bring in the highlands of Scotland and the Caucasus of Armenia and combine them. Oh, it's exciting. It is exciting. It has, well, I'm not going to tell you anymore. It's up to you. If you want to listen to it, it's there, okay? It is also written down. There's all kinds of links on today's show notes. So let me start off with that and tell you why I am so excited. And because this week has been really kind of like a roller coaster ride for me, and I think for many people following the Armenian Church, at least with many of the people that I've been talking to. You know, the Bishop Synod is taking place in Armenia, in Holy Etchmiadzin. And this is the first time that all the bishops get together. And I'm going to be talking about that in a few minutes. We're going to be taking a look, a critical look, at what they said at the meeting and what they are saying right now. It happens to be taking place as we speak, as we record right now, probably finishing up tomorrow, next day. This is a historic occasion, of course, for the Armenian Church, but it's also an opportunity for us to evaluate. And, you know, for me, being an anniversary, and I think many people do this at turns of birthdays, at turns of anniversaries. Certainly we do this at the turn of the year, right? We do this when the new year comes. As Christians, we do this during the Easter season because it is an annual event. You know, we've been going around the sun once. 1 year, we've done a rotation around the sun. So it's a convenient opportunity for us to evaluate, hey, what happened since the last time I was here? Looking at the sun from this location in the universe, okay? And it's been a year now. We've gone around. What did I do? What did I? What were the achievements? What are some of the setbacks? How can I improve? And this kind of self-evaluation, of course, if you do too much of it, it's the analysis leads to paralysis, but done properly can lead to a better state of being, right? Because you improve yourself. And in that improvement, who improves? You do, and so do your surroundings. So does your family. So does the community. So does the world. And so it's a nice, convenient opportunity to take a look at life at the anniversaries and the birthdays. But at the same time, it's also an opportunity for us to look globally and collectively. And certainly that's where I'm at right now, especially since when you give your life to something, whatever it may be. In my case, it happens to be the church. In another's, you have this opportunity to evaluate and come up with some real questions, at least for yourself. Like, is it meaningful? Is it purposeful? Okay, I have certain number of hours in a day, certain number of hours in a week. Certain number of hours in a lifetime, okay? And at some point it's going to come to an end. Did I make the best of it? Did I do what I was supposed to do? Was I faithful to the calling? Certainly for me, this is a big question that has global ramifications, because when we look at the church, it's not just something that is touching people. Or maybe it is. Maybe it is just at the local level. Maybe it is all just local, like politics. But I want to believe that the church has a message for something greater. And certainly this week, I read the America interview of Pope Francis. I don't know how many of you saw that. I'll definitely put a link on today's show notes to this interview. Just fascinating, fascinating look at who the man, Pope Francis, is. You know, he comes across as such a humble servant of Christ. Certainly at the first question, who is Jorge Bergoglio? I think I pronounced that right. Who are you? The Archbishop's name before he took on the name Francis. He says, I am a sinner. This is the most accurate definition. And, you know, I think you get into that tendency, okay, he's showing his humility. But listen what he says. He says, I am a sinner. This is the most accurate definition. It is not a figure of speech, a literary genre. I am a sinner. And he begins from this premise. And I want to do a show just looking at this, because I have to tell you, this interview coming out in America Magazine, his talking about the Jesuits and about the order, certainly within me conjures up images of where is the counterpart in the Armenian Church. Not so much as the person, but where is that ministry? Where are we as far as being the Church of Christ here on earth? And certainly we have the baggage that comes with the ethnic profile of the Armenian Church. And you can't deny that, but at some certain point, that ethnic, as I've shared with you many times, that ethnic profile has to define the church, not the church defining the ethnic profile. That ethnic profile says that, hey, look at us. We are a people that have been crucified, have taken the message of Christ and actually applied it. So in that applied theology, what is there to learn? And hence we see the birth of the In His Shoes movement, that the only way that you can apply that tragedy of the past is to actually apply it in terms of what's going on in the world. And I've spoken about this many, many times, about the importance of relevance. You can't just be a church out there. You have to be relevant. It has to speak to the time. Jesus didn't come in some abstract form, or he didn't come outside of space and reality. He came in some very real terms, okay? And he came and he touched the people. He didn't stand off from the people and says, okay, you are healed, you are saved. No, he actually intermingled with the people, and he spoke to the times. He used the metaphors of the day. And I've shared this with you how many times, that quest for relevance is really what is lacking in our church. When you look at what's being talked about in Etchmiadzin, especially in a few minutes when you take a look at some of the concepts that they're talking about, you really have to wonder, are we understanding what the problems are for us to define the mission? I mean, think about what we're doing here as far as Armenian Orthodoxy. That definitely is the faith. It's been brought over. It's been given to us. It's been passed down through the centuries. And now it's arrived. It's in 2013 this year. And okay, we have this faith. What does that mean? How does it reach out to you? Well, this is what we're calling Armenian Orthodoxy, polished up for today, Armadoxy. And basically, finding that relevance, it is Armenian Orthodoxy made relevant, not by touching the message, okay? You never touch the message. Jesus's message is always relevant. It is always timeless. It is always sacred. You don't touch the message, but you start bringing it and speaking it to the times. So that in earlier centuries, you did it by writing. You did it via the printing press. You did it through song. You did it through the folk songs. And then now today you have means by which to get it out to people. But it's not just getting it out to people, but by actually connecting dots. Because people are struggling. People are struggling with difficult economies, economic situations, right? People are struggling with relations unlike in previous times. I mean, think about what's going on as far as sexual identity. Okay, these were all, it's not to say that homosexuality didn't exist in prior centuries. Of course it did. But today, there's opportunities to talk about it. There's opportunities for expression. And so, too, the church needs to be there in a realization of evolution, right? Evolving. We are evolving as a people. And this is not a bad thing. It just means that you're living. I mean, things that don't evolve are dead things, right? They just basically perish. They're finished. Corpses, right? They disintegrate. You don't want to be a corpse. You're living. It means you're evolving. It means each cell is reproducing itself constantly. And if the church is really to take on the metaphor of the body of Christ, what does that mean? It means it's a living entity, a breathing entity. This is what we forget about so many times. I sometimes get a kick out of discussions that go on between, especially about within the Orthodoxy. I mean, there's this idea that it's so old and we have to preserve. No, you don't preserve. Orthodoxy is Orthodoxy because it lived for the times. You know, it doesn't mean that you go and you live in old times. It means you take those old times and you apply it for today. I mean, all of religion, all of faith is about that. It's about relevance, living for today. We're going to be talking about that today, especially in light of what's coming out of the Bishop Synod in Armenia. I'm going to go into that right after the Song of the Day. But I do want to go back to Pope Francis's article, and I'll put a link on today's show notes. Ask you to read it. I want to talk about it in the next few weeks. It is just fascinating look, not only into the Pope, but the presence of the Church, the Universal Church, the Roman Catholic Church specifically, and its implications for all of humanity. A lot of meat in there. So I'll put a link on today's show notes. Hey, I told you today is an anniversary. I'm going to play a very special song to me. It's called Life is a Long Song.
When you're falling awake and you take stock of the new a day, and you hear your voice croak as you choke on what you need to say, well, don't you fret, don't you fear, I will give you good cheer. Life's a long song. Life's a long song. Life's a long song. If you wait, then you play, and I will feel. As the verses unfold, and your soul suffers the long day, and the 12 o'clock gloom spins the room, you struggle on your way. Well, don't you sigh, don't you cry, lick dust from your eyes. Life's a long song. Life's a long song. Life's a long song. We will meet in the sweet light of dawn, as the Baker Street train fills your pain all over your new dress, and the symphony sounds on the ground, but you want to do a rest. Well, don't you squeal as the heat grinds you under the wheels. Life's a long song. Life's a long song. Song, but the tune ends too soon for a song.
Life is a long song, but the tune ends too soon for us all. I like it. It is poetic. It describes so much in my life. That is, of course, Jethro Tull. I hope you enjoyed it. A little bit of a gift from me. I gave you a gift earlier, okay, in the show. That's a gift from me to me, okay? Is that selfish? So what? So be it. There'll be a link on today's show notes to all of the great music that comes out of Tull.
Hinet sava bait nore ora imne ora yev huisen ora yes I'd kanapsos ush haskatsa u yerp armatneris veradartsa ինձ գտա շեմին հիմ գանձարանի դրան վրա պատրաստ կախված էր բանալին.
Well, something happened in Armenia this week, and it is happening actually while we record right now, but it's soon to be over. And this is the assembly or the Synod of Bishops. Now, let me give you a little bit of background. Of course, all structures need organization. And I've shared this with you in the past, too, that sometimes we shy away from the idea of business. That when we say the church is a business, of course, we start thinking about, well, it's a moneymaker. No, business just basically means that there's organization to it. And to get anything done, you need a business plan. You need an organizational plan. And certainly when we say the church is a business, yes, that's the sense that we mean it in, that it has an organization to it. Christ set it up as a business. Now, I know that sounds crude. People think about it and they say, oh, well, this guy's talking about money and everything. No, it's not about money. It's about getting efficiency in place, right? You want your program to go out. So think about it in these terms, okay? Christ comes to this world, and before he leaves, he says, I will not leave you alone. I will send you the Counselor, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will come to remind you of the things that I've taught you, and you will be now commissioned to go out. And so as Christ leaves earth at that moment of ascension, he says, go therefore to all the land, preaching the good news, baptize the people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and remember that I'm with you to the close of the ages. Now, he doesn't preach this to everybody. He gives it actually specifically in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28. Look this up. It says it right there. He spoke to the 11 disciples who had gathered there. Why not 12? Well, you know, one of them died, Judas Iscariot, the traitor, the betrayer, as he was called. But basically, the 11 that were left remaining, they stood at the mountaintop and in Galilee, and Jesus told them, go out and preach. So they became what is known the foundation for the apostles. Later on, they appointed a 12th person, Matthias, to take the place of Judas. Later on, these disciples, now becoming apostles. Disciple means a student. Apostle means one who is sent out. It comes from the Greek word. In Armenian, it's the same word. Arakel means arakel. It's the verb arakel means someone who is sent out. So one is a student. The student, the disciples, become now one who has been sent out. And think of it in these terms. When Jesus invites them to follow him, what does he say to Peter? Come, follow me. And at the end, he says, now go and teach. So come and go. And this is basically the law of life, isn't it? Come and learn, and now when you're ready, you now go. Yesterday, we took our youngest son to college. He is starting his now journey in college. So it's his first time leaving the house. The same kind of thing. And I had that talk with him the night before. Okay, all this time you have learned from us as the family. We're not there now to watch over you day and night, but we have the trust, we have the faith that what you have learned, what you have absorbed, you will now continue on. And certainly you're going to be making mistakes. But in that process of making mistakes, you look, you evaluate, and you move forward. And in the same way, Jesus had this small company called the disciples. He took them in and he said, okay, now it's the time for you to go out. And you will be definitely making mistakes because you're human, but realize that that is a condition of humanity. That is what the church is all about. You come together and you evaluate, you think about it, and know that the Holy Spirit is with you, driving you, taking you forward. Now, this is very, very important, okay? The day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit descends upon the gathered disciples and breathes into them. The Holy Spirit is what defines, gives definition, and moves the Christian church. Now, this is very, very, very important for us to remember, okay? Because I'm going to challenge you with something. As we're going to be looking now to the Bishop Synod, it's very important to remember that if we believe that the Holy Spirit is guiding it, we have to completely trust it too. Sometimes we yeah, it's a common problem. We all have done it, okay? We look at it and we become critical of the players. Now, you got to ask yourself, okay, if we prayed that the Holy Spirit would define and direct us, why are we second-guessing that? If the Holy Spirit is there and in charge, why are we thinking that there are forces more powerful than that, basically political forces, that have swayed the church? Does it mean that we don't have the faith in the power of the Holy Spirit? I want to be able to stand back and look at this and say, okay, the Holy Spirit is guiding the church. Sure, it may not be what I would define or may not be where I would like to see the church being right now. But remember, the church is bigger than us. It has a longer term. It has a 2,000-year history, and it will go on forever. So can we trust the Holy Spirit apart from ourselves? It's an important question. And you have to ask that question when we become critical of the church. Now, the early church got together, and there were differences of opinions. And even as far as what books should be in the Bible. And so they gathered together in church councils, the bishops, the overseer. Bishop means overseer. The overseers would gather together, the leaders, the fathers of the church. They would gather together in what were known as councils. And there are three main ecumenical councils. In other words, all the churches got together. The first one was in Nicaea. Does that ring a bell? Yes, the Nicene Creed. That was in 325. Every Christian church pronounces the Nicene Creed. Well, what is the importance of that? The Nicene Creed is the definition of what a Christian is. And so the church fathers got together and said, okay, if you want to be called a Christian, this is what you need to believe in. Okay, it's not to say if you don't believe in it, you're a bad person. It just means that if you want to use that title Christian, you have to believe in a Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, in the church. We believe in the Father, God of God, true God, is the Son, the Holy Spirit, who descended, and the church, which is there for the remission of sins. And we see that this becomes a formula, so to speak. Remember the business model. It becomes a way of bringing that home, bringing that message home. Now, the second meeting after Nicaea was a few years later, a few decades later. That took place in Constantinople. Today we call that Istanbul. And the third one was in Ephesus. Now, subsequently after that, there were different councils that met, but it wasn't the universal church. The universal church started breaking up. And now what we call ecumenism, in other words, that means of bringing the universal church back together, is basically to try to pick up the pieces and saying, okay, throughout the centuries we've gone in different ways, but what are our commonalities? And this phrase that I don't know who said, because many people have been cited as the author. I think it goes back to Augustine. I know in Armenian, St. Nerses Shnorhali has said it, unity in essentials, liberty in secondary items, and charity or love in all things. Okay, unity in essentials. You believe in the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the Church, the Nicene Creed is the essential, okay? Unity in that. You believe in that. Liberty in secondary matters. Things that don't have to do with your salvation, but they're important part in defining your faith. And I know there's a lot of things we could think about that are more meaty than this, but let's think about something very abstract, something that we could all relate to. The blessing of grapes on the feast of Ostfazadzin, I shared with you down south, down in the southern hemisphere, it's in January. In the northern hemisphere, it's in Ostfazadzin. Why? Because the grapes are, now do those grapes have significance other than they are the first fruit, what you give to God? Of course not. They don't matter in the salvific process, but they are part of a tradition that defines or gives a definition. And you can think of many, many of these secondary items in all kinds of tradition. In other words, let's have some liberty, let's have some understanding in that, okay? And finally, charity in all things, love in all things. In other words, if we do love him, and I think we saw this in Pope Francis's statements, especially when he's talking about non-Christians, when he's talking about things that he didn't understand, he says, who am I to judge? And these are the ideas that we have to always keep in mind, that you are an ambassador of love. Christ never, ever rejected anyone. Christ took everyone in. He never rejected anyone. And if Christ didn't reject them, who are we to reject one another? Charity, love in all things, okay? Unity in essentials. Liberty in secondary items. Charity in all things. And so the church started developing and had meetings. Now, the Roman Catholic Church has meetings throughout the centuries, primarily because it can. It had the power, it had the ability to do it. The most famous one that we know of, that we remember at least, is Vatican II, which took place in the early 60s, okay? And because there's a lot of people that are still living from those days. And it was a turning point for the Roman Catholic Church. Now, in the same way, the Armenian Church throughout the centuries has had opportunities to bring together its leadership and bringing together the bishops of the church. Now, this is not the National Ecclesiastic Assembly in that it is not really about the business, so to speak, the administration, as much as it is about the teachings of the church. And so there's a question about when did the last one of these meetings take place. Actually, it took place in 1969 when the Catholicos of all Armenians convened a synod of bishops. Now, here's the problem with that one. The Sea of Cilicia, which is now in Antilias, Lebanon, the Sea of Cilicia was invited to that meeting, and there was a couple representatives that came. But there's always the contention that it wasn't all the bishops. So you go back a few centuries, and it's been several centuries. In fact, in the year 441, that's an important day in Armenian history, Armenian church history, because the Holy Mother See of Etchmiadzin had been under siege for many years, and it had ended up in Sis. And in 441, the Catholicos was unable to return back to Etchmiadzin. In other words, the all clear was given from Armenia, bring the Catholicos back home, and this Catholicos in 441 said, I cannot go back, too old. There's many, many interpretations of what happened at that point, and I don't want to get into that. The problem is we need to reconcile with the idea that at that moment, he didn't go back to Etchmiadzin. He continued to consecrate bishops in Cilicia, in Sis, which became known as the Cilician See. And the Catholicos was elected in Etchmiadzin, and he started consecrating bishops. And so now you have two sees, two Catholicoses consecrating bishops. Since 441. Actually, there were other Catholicosates. The most famous of these infamous, or let's say smaller Catholicosates, was in Akhtamar, which was around until the end of the 19th century. Okay, so there were Catholicoses. And there's no magic to saying that there should be only one, except that if you want to say that he is the first among equals, you can't say he's the first and second one. So we have two Catholicoses. One is from Etchmiadzin, one is from the Catholicos of Cilicia, which now, since the early part of last century, has been relocated to Lebanon, because, of course, Cilicia was under siege. Long stories, right? Long, just as a preface to get there. That's some of the baggage that goes with Armenian Orthodoxy. But I hope you're with me right now, okay? I hope you're with me. We've got two Catholicoses, each producing bishops. And so this year, Catholicos Karekin II, the Supreme Patriarch Catholicos of all Armenians, as his title is, convenes, he calls a meeting in Holy Etchmiadzin of all of the bishops, including those that come from Cilicia. In other words, all Armenian consecrated bishops. And they assemble in Armenia. at Holy Etch Miadzin, and they started their deliberations just a few days ago around two, in particular, two topics that were on the agenda. One of them has to do with the 100th anniversary of the Armenian Genocide, 1915 to 2015. 100 years. So in preparation of the 100-year anniversary, they're talking about canonizing a group of people, the 1.5 million martyrs. The 1.5 million people were slaughtered at the hands of the Turks. They're talking about canonizing, which means making them saints. Now, there are some issues there. I don't want to say problems, but there's some issues. Basically, you can pray to your grandparents. If they are part of that group, yes, they will be saints. In league with the with St. Mary, and in league with Nerses Shnorali Hrepsime, in league with the 40 martyrs of Sepastia, with Datevatsi. Yeah, they're going to be saints, okay? Your grandparents, your great-grandparents. But bigger issues than the personal ones are, how do you define martyrdom? How do you define sainthood? Obviously, 1.5 million people died. Against their will, they were forced out into the desert. Not everyone was a Christian. Not everyone died for their faith. Does that matter? Are you splitting hairs? Are you trying to find how many angels on the head of a pin? Or are you trying to give definition to the church? These are things that the Synod of Bishops will be talking about this week. Now, the second item that they're talking about is a uniformity of the service of baptism, being the entry point into the Christian faith. The uniformity of baptism is very important so that someone being baptized receives the sacrament no matter where he is. No matter where they exist on this planet, the sacrament is administered in the proper and uniform manner. So these are the things that are pressing for the Synod of Bishops this year. I know there are wars going on throughout the world. There's one that's about to... That's at least on everyone's mind in Syria, but these are the issues that the Synod of Bishops are pondering. Now, I want to share with you a couple things. One of them is the message that was given by Catechin II at the Synod of Bishops, and the one it is given by Aram I. He is the Catholicos of the House of Cilicia. And it is very important. I'm going to put links on today's show notes. I hope that these will be translated in the coming weeks. But I do have Armenian copies of both of them, both of the speeches. I have to tell you that I found both of the speeches to be very inspiring at certain levels. Okay, I want to be honest with you. There was a lot of rhetoric in it, which is to be expected, okay? You're running the show. You are the Catholicos. There has to be some rhetoric. You have to turn and say, okay, we're doing this. But there were some inspirational moments, and I have to say, in a toss-up, Catechin II, wow. He was able to really articulate some important points that have been important points of this ministry over here. In other words, to bring the centrality of Christ to the equation. I found that in the Aram speech, it was more about the Armenian issue of being an Armenian church. And here, I mean, both of them talked about being an Armenian church, but this is what's important. Where does that Armenian church fall in the grander scheme of things? Is your mission only to the Armenian people? Is your mission to the world? Does the Armenian church have something to say to the world? Does the world have something to say to the Armenian people? How does it interact? We keep talking about relevance. Now, remember what I said earlier, the question of relevance isn't about changing the message. It's about how to deliver that message in a proper way. And in both of these two leaders, these two hierarchs, they talked about that. But here, there was just a beautiful part in Catechin II's a message. He says, Եկեղեցին Քրիստոսի խորհրդական մարմինը եւ հավատացելոց հավաքականությունը լինելով. Let me try to do a just an off-the-cuff translation of this. He's saying, the church being Christ's mystical body and the collection of the people of God, of the faithful. Naev zhamanagneri mech korzo garuitse. In other words, it is also an entity that works in the times. Remember we were saying it's not outside of time, but it's in the times. Yev ir arakelutyan janabarin skume pare garkman yev pare pohumneri anrajeshtutyun. And during that course of its life, it understands and it feels the necessity for reform, for changes. Well, we were saying the evolution, right? So I'm very hopeful in this kind of talk. I don't know if it's rhetoric, I don't know if there's answers, but I'm very hopeful that a hierarch is talking in these terms. More so, I'm very hopeful because he's talking about the centrality of Christ as opposed to the centrality of the Armenian ethos. Now, that being said, can we get a little critical? Did you see the pictures coming out of there? We'll make sure that you see some pictures too, okay? This will all be on our show notes, and in no ways do I want to say that we're going to exhaust it here. In fact, we're going to be ending in a few minutes only with the idea that next week we're going to be picking up on this, and I hope within some discussion with you, our listeners. But if I may get critical, I think I will. That's part of having this show. Take a look at the pictures. The first session began with the two Catholicoi presiding. Yet in the middle of them is seated the President of the Republic of Armenia. Okay. All respect for the office, but this is a church. It's an ecclesiastical meeting. This is a church meeting. And that being said, take a look at that picture of the dais. Take a look at a picture of the entire room. Is there a picture of Christ? Is there an icon? Somewhere, could they have gotten a picture and just put up Christ's picture up there? No. Not even a cross, save for the one that's on the Catholicos' Vehar. Well, why is that important? Well, take a look at that picture, okay? Take a look at that picture. If you have no clue of what the Armenian Church is, now this picture is being thrown out to the world. You come in and you don't know what the Armenian Church is. What is this meeting about? There are some flags, there's some people in these hoods. And there is the president of Armenia in the middle of them. I mean, let's be realistic. I mean, this could look something very sinister and scary. Certainly, if there was some kind of indication that this was a church meeting. Yes, in the back you could see the outline of Holy Etchmiadzin on the banner. You see some Armenian writing, but it's very important as far as branding goes that if we're going to run this as a business, that we understand that there's marketing tools that we need to use. Anyway, those are little critical things that you see. And again, it's part of the growing process. It's part of saying that, okay, this is our first attempt in 700 years. It's a nice start. Certainly, we got to look for content. But in looking for the content, we also have to think about what are the images, what are we projecting out to it? Because when we're talking about relevance, when we're talking about being a church for today, we're realizing that we are competing. Yes, I'm going to use that word, competing, with not only Christian churches, not only other denominations, but also with cults. We're dealing with the materialism. We're dealing with addictions. And these are all different ways that are taking the soul of people. And you're looking out for the soul, right? Isn't that the bottom line? Okay, I'm going to put these on the show notes. I'm going to invite you to read them. I know they're in Armenian. I hope that there'll be translation. If there are, I'll definitely upload them and put them on the show notes as well. Next few days, I'm going to try to come in front of this microphone and kind of give an analysis because we're right in the middle of this whole thing. I'm going to save it for next week, but I'm going to try to do something. I'm so excited with the stuff that is coming out of Armenia. It is meaty. It is juicy. It gives me hope. It gives me something to look look forward to. Yes, critical we can be, but if you want to believe that the Holy Spirit is in charge of the church, we have to also believe that the Holy Spirit is more powerful than all the forces of politics and people. So let's be critical, let's look at it, and let's look for definitions that can move our church forward. I want to kind of bring it home right now, but connect all the dots in today's podcast, at least, because I did share with you that it also happens to be an anniversary. Now, when a priest is ordained, there is a passage that is read during the ordination service. It is a gospel passage that comes to us from Luke chapter 4. In the narrative, it takes place immediately after Jesus returns from the wilderness. Remember, he is baptized, and then he goes away for 40 days, and now he returns from the wilderness to address the people. So this is the first time people are hearing Jesus Christ. Okay, now listen to this. What does he do? He goes into the temple and he opens up scripture and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closes the book and he turns to them and he says, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." In other words, this is the mission for which God has ordained me. This is why I am here. And today you are seeing that fulfilled. Well, think about it. If that's his mission, what do you think the mission of the church should be? The body of Christ has to continue that same mission. And so there it is. There's the mission statement of the church. And every priest that is ordained hears this at his ordination. This is the starting point for ministry, to proclaim the good news to the people that God loves us. He hasn't forgotten about us. That God's love is infinite. To give sight and recovery of sight to the blind. Not the people without eyeballs in their socket, but people who are walking around in dazes because they don't know what their life is about. To give definition, to give meaning, to give purpose, to give soul to people. This is what the priest does. This is the mission of the church. And so as the church leadership gets together, it's very important that we keep in mind the mission statement of the church and we realize that they work towards that mission. With that being said, how about if we put a bookmark in it right now? Okay, I'm going to come back. I'm going to try to do one this weekend. Okay, I'm going to try to do something very special and give you another next step, which will become an analysis of the proceedings at the Synod of Bishops. But I wanted to give this to you today as a prelude. Why they're meeting, what they're meeting for, why the importance of maybe establishing a business model and having in front of you a mission statement and where you go from there. Okay, let me let Susie make her announcements. I'll be back in a couple minutes.
Hi, this is Susie for In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are growing daily with new listeners around the globe. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we must avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at epostle.net. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Thank you, Susie, and thank you, all of you, who support us with your donations, support us mostly with your prayers. the thoughts. Every time I get encouragement from you, every time I hear from you, it just goes to tell me that, you know, this ministry is so important, getting the word out in a proper way, proper manner, in a way that people can debate, people can sink their teeth into it. It's very easy to be critical, and you see enough of that all around you. It's important to look from within, not from without, to say that, okay, this is my church, and there are so many beautiful things about it as the body of Christ. It has a purpose to tie us with God. It is not this beautiful bridge that we're on and that we look at the bridge and we say, it's so beautiful, I don't want to get off of it. No, it has a purpose in tying us with God and the purpose of what we spoke about. He has anointed me to give the good news to the poor, send proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind. And so that's what you do when you partner with us, when you become a member of Epostle, you send in your donation, you're saying that this message is an important one, you want to get it out. And you know, we do that in many ways throughout our ministry, and I invite you throughout the week, get involved with us virtually. We're on the net, we're on Facebook, Epostle, St. Peter Armenian Church. You know, I have to share with you, just a few days ago I was sharing with Susie some of my frustration of doing an English Bible study here in Glendale. And she made the point that, you know, if we don't do it, nobody else is. The frustration, of course, me being, it's so much easier to do an Armenian one here, Armenian language. And we do, how many times a week we have occasions to preach in Armenian and provide the word in Armenian. And I do an English one once a week, and that English one is being spread via the internet. And really, when you look around you, you really don't have people articulating in English. And if we're to believe that the Armenian church has a message beyond itself, beyond its own people, and even for its own people, we have to believe that this kind of programming is essential. So I want to thank you for believing in us. I want to thank you for believing that this is a mission being fueled and being pushed by God. And thank you for being with us with your prayers. I want to invite you to get involved. Listen, I'm going to be back in a few days, hopefully, with some analysis of what's been taking place at the Bishop's Synod, because like I said, it's been taking me on a roller coaster ride. I want to give you a gift today. This happens to be the anniversary of my ordination. I want to share with you a very special edition of Compass. It's called Compass number 7 SE, special edition. In other words, it has music attached to it. And I hope you enjoy it. I'd love to hear from you, hear what you think about it, and hear your comments. Do drop us a line. You could get in touch with us at feedback@epostle.net. That's the email address. But it's really easy on Facebook. You know, just drop us a line. You could drop me a line on Facebook too. But Epostle has a presence there. St. Peter Armenian Church, In Issues. There's all kinds of ways that you could connect with us. We'd love to hear from you and always do appreciate it. You want to drop us a message, a voice message? You can do that in the United States, area code 626-275-AMEN. No, why am I saying that? Why am I anglicizing that? It's 275-AMEN in the 626 area code. Hey, listen, for the wonderful crew who put today's show together, I want to thank you for joining us. Today become more informational. I know it's a little departure from what we usually do. We have a little bit of information, a little bit of history in there, sewn in there in various forms, and I hope you appreciated it. I hope you liked it as much as we like producing today's show for you. For the wonderful team that's assembled over here, for Susie, our producer, for Ken, our engineer, Vahe, our webman, and for Linda putting together that special compass, this is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week, if not sooner, for the next step.
Trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week. And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Take your breath cut out.